Ladies and gentlemen, the day is here. Dieter and Hutch's 2025 NFL Draft Guide available to all sickos now. And Jake is somehow still alive to tell us all about it. This was Jake's baby for the last 2 months.
Dieter has actual babies to take care of. So I had this.
I'm starting to think that this baby might have been more difficult to take care of. I think we've lost the same amount of sleep, all things considered. I don't need to pump it up anymore. I don't need to sell it. If you're a sicko, you like what we're doing, this is a distilled, concentrated, way better than you're paying for value. This is something really effective. And I think, especially for 49ers fans, will give you a clearer understanding of the draft going in, because we're viewing it from not specifically a 49ers perspective, but it's definitely tainted by our coverage of this team, the understanding of what it is they like to do, and some of the aesthetic things and the schematic things that we appreciate about the 49ers transferring into our scouting of these guys. But Jake has done an incredible job, and we'll get into some of these pages here, give you all a preview if you're not already a sicko later. But Jake has done an incredible job of really breaking it down. All the language that he uses on these broadcasts, which sometimes we get a little bogged down in, a lot better in print form.
That's right. And without further ado, this is just little slices of what the guide looks like, what you're going to be getting. And then, you know, we're just going to give you our top 10 players in this draft, just a little tease for what you're going to get, because our top 150 is in there. We got our top 150. We got every single position group broken down. We got a little emojis, you know, to signify some traits players have. We got all this stuff. Please.
You're getting Jake's breakdowns. You're getting Dieter's top 150, Dieter's top 40, you know, his bang
and
the table guys.
You're getting guys Jake's guys.
This is just a little taste of what you can see in the Dieter and Hutch 2025 NFL Draft Guide. Let's be specific here. This is Jake's ranking of edge rushers, because as you can see, we have a little guy, and I'm going to zoom in here for everybody, a little bitty guy saying, hey, this guy's on Dieter's 150 and this guy's on Hutch's 150. And you will notice, talk about edge lording, your boy likes some of these guys down here in the 150, but we do have somewhat of a consensus. And I think this is just a very valuable thing. We all love, let's zoom back in here. Come on. we all love rankings. We all love the number. And of course, any of these guys that you're going to see on this list, it's not just a list. There's a whole comprehensive breakdown of what makes these guys tick and why we like them and why we don't, or specifically why Jake doesn't like them. Let's just go with our guy, our number one boy, Mikel Williams
out
of Georgia. And you got our faces right here. Saying, hey.
Yeah, if you click on our faces, start at the top, every time you click on our face, it'll take you to the next stamp we have given out. So if you're feeling like a true sicko and you want to just say, click on our face, who does Jake love? It'll take you to each guy I have stamped. It'll take you to each guy Dieter has stamped. Don't ever say we don't do nothing for you.
That is exactly right. And just breaking down the Mikel Williams thing here, a guy whose technique is a little too sloppy, may never quite learn how to use his body to its full potential. That's the downside. But the upside, stud every down edge rusher, game wrecker once he's healthy and figures out tempo, improves his pass rush craft, which is already a much higher level than is recognized. And then Jake's just fawning over one of our favorite players, if not our favorite player in this draft, Mikel Williams. Shades of Willie McGinnis, a T-Rex, but with long arms. Who's going to give you, you're going on NFL.com. There's a lot of great draft guides out there, right? And some of them used to be great and might not longer be great. But that is neither here nor there. Needless to say, who else is comparing Mikel Williams to a T-Rex with long arms? I don't even know what that would look like. I guess it would look like number 13 for Georgia.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He's living, breathing. He's with us right now, folks.
And then it's Jurassic Park over here. And then, of course, you know, MIZ. Talking offensive tackles, our number one guy with a bullet, Armon Membu, apparently not Jake's stamp of approval worthy. He wouldn't bang the table for him, folks.
I love Membu, but I'm a little more
judicious.
Yeah, with my stamps.
Shades of Jason Peters and Tristan Wirfs. Love that. How about Josh Simmons, baby Trent Williams, Penei Sewell, Teron Armstead? These are names that I all know and love, Jake. These are fantastic NFL players.
It's tough. The further you get in the draft where you're like looking at like an interior offensive lineman who's like ranked 22nd, you're like, I don't have a good comp.
The amount of names you've been like, do you have a comp for this person? And I'm coming up with the most esoteric, ridiculous, like,
right,
he's like if a CFL quarterback was put in a time machine, or, you know.
And listen, some of them are just some of them are just based off athleticism, some are based off style, you know, some are more accurate than others. But listen, if you want me to look at the exact interior offensive lineman from 17 years ago, I'm gonna do it, and I did.
he did. And listen, it's all a very subjective thing. This is our subjectivity, and it's, instead of having to go back, and I know y'all do this anyway, instead of going back and listening to every podcast and every video we've done and taking diligent notes, just read the notes. Just read the flipping notes. We've put them in an unbelievably fonted format on a
such
beautiful
fonts.
I love it. I can't get enough of it, with our faces and our beautiful stamps.
That's right.
And you need to know how big Josh Simmons is. Have I got that number for you? It's right here next to his name. He went to Ohio State. And his upside is all pro left tackle for a decade with outstanding movement, physicality, craft. And that's all while still having a ways to go. This is just good stuff.
That's right, folks. And, you know, what else do you want? What else do you want?
Well, we want more pages of it, Jake. And if you become an official member of the channel, you can get more pages of it. So many more pages of it.
That's right. That's right. There are a lot. There are a lot. More than 200 pages. More than 200 players.
Yes.
Nearly 200 pages, not quite.
Yeah. And that doesn't even include all the players that we broke down only to realize they're staying in school.
The amount of players that stayed in school or that I crossed off because I got angry watching them, Marlo Wax. You know, they're just some guys. They're just some guys that broke me a little bit. But guys that didn't, our top 10. Yeah. We'll give you our top 10 here, just so you can get a feel for.
You're the man of the hour.
Yeah,
give me your top 10. Lay it on me, baby.
All right, I'm just gonna rip through them. We got number one, Travis Hunter, CB wide receiver, Colorado. He's outstanding. I don't know what you want me to say. He can play both.
On the game.
I think he might. Steve Smith made a good point that like you're probably gonna have to choose one. It's just hard to do both at an elite level. Though I do kind of think it's easier if you're gonna try and do part time. I think it's probably easier to go part-time receiver than it is go part-time cornerback. It's cornerback is too tricky. I go Travis Hunter one. Number two, I kept trying to avoid putting him here, but it is Mykel Williams.
Why would you worry about putting him here?
Just because of the lack of production, trying to give deference to what, you know, the criticisms of his game, but the tape, the athleticism, what I see from him, like he's my number two player in this draft. As insane as that might sound to some. So that's the reality. Number three, Tyler Warren, Penn State. I just think he's outrageously talented. And I know there's some questions. Is he just a move tight end? I think he's more than that. I've seen him drive guys out of bounds.
Like, he's the only good tight end.
Right. Can he improve? Absolutely. But like he's outrageously talented. He can play in a number of ways as a tight end. And I know it's about matching up. Can you block to get teams to account for you as a tight end? I think he definitely can. Number four, Armand Membu, offensive tackle / guard, probably tackle in my view. Adam Mizzou, listen, we've talked about him plenty. He's just a stud. Number five, we got Mason Graham out of Michigan. He's going to be on the Jacksonville Jaguars from, you know, every single mock in existence. I think he's substantially more well-rounded than Kenneth Grant. Now, is he going to dominate every play and every single rep? That's the question we have. But is he going to immediately be good and upgrade your defensive line and be a very quality defensive tackle in both facets? Yes, he will. Number six, Jalen Walker. Dieter has him categorized as a linebacker. He'll explain that in a sec. I have him as an edge. I understand the size concerns, totally fair, but he plays way above his weight. He's got crazy strong hands. And he's able to get up and under you and win that leverage battle consistently. I describe him as a hunter. He just goes. Number seven, Walter Nolan. I know that might be controversial, but
I just see, I was rewatching the tape, and man, he is such a problem for anyone to account for. He takes plays off sometimes. There's some inconsistencies in his games. There are some concerns, but in terms of talent, in terms of physicality, like, he has the most upside in this class at defensive tackle. Number eight, Abdul Carter. Mm-hmm. We got him there. Listen, again, I didn't say Abdul Carter is a schmuck. I just said he can't use power, and I've got some concerns. But could he be a guy that uses speed, uses hesitation, swipe move in a variety of ways? Could he be an outstanding 3-4 edge? Totally. He absolutely could, and the talent is clear. But he's also got shoulder surgeries coming back from, you know, and he's got a foot injury he's sort of dealing with, and they're pretending like it's all fine. So I've got some concerns there, but the talent is clear. Number 9, Josh Simmons. I think he's the best tackle in this class. The knee has some concerns for me. Membu is above him because of those concerns, and also because Membu, I think day one, is probably the number one guard in this class. So that's how I have it structured. Last one, number 10, I've got Will Campbell. I considered moving Jahdae Barron above him, but Campbell to me is just a technician. I think he's really smart. And his number one trait is that he learns. He is a very, like, you know, everyone talks about AI learning in the Bay Area. He learns quick. Kid learns quick. He makes mistakes for sure, but he understands what he did wrong, and he resets really quickly throughout the course of the game. And I think that's a pretty rare trait.
That's huge. It's absolutely huge, especially at the NFL level. If you can't adapt, you will die. And that is from first to second quarter, because you will have, with defensive ends in this league, edge rushers in this league, guys who, kind of like a starting pitcher in baseball, are working through their arsenal. I'm not going to show them this yet. I'm going to bust that out on a big down that I need it later. And just that cat and mouse game, the ability to learn and to adapt and to adjust in game is massive, and something that I do think is tremendously undervalued when it comes to evaluation. So I don't give a shit how long his arms are. What I care about is the fact, can he keep me in position to win for four quarters?
Right.
And you don't have to just say, oh, it wasn't his day, we lost. You'll never say that, because he'll figure out a way to at least give you a good rep, even if he's getting his ass whipped in the first quarter. He's number 10 on my board as well. Simmons is number 9 on my board.
Nice.
Mason Graham is number 8. Number 8. All the concerns you laid out there, that's why I have him at 8. Do I think he's a wonderful player? Absolutely. Would the 49ers be lucky to have him at 11? You bet your ass you would. Do I see the high-end explosion the same way that I do with a Nolan? No, but Nolan's not in my top 10. Nolan is just below my top 10 because there is a bit more question mark. I'm going to take the safer play. I'm going to go with Graham. I'm just not as high on Graham as some others are. Abdul Carter for me is at 7. He's a brilliant pass rusher. That's all he is. You mentioned that I have him as a linebacker. He strikes me as a oversized 3-4 outside linebacker who rushes the quarterback, which brings me to, you know, I'll skip up one here, but it brings me to my number 5 guy in Jalen Walker. Why wouldn't I rather have a guy who can actually, I think, play linebacker, can give me that undersized, no power defensive end? People are going to say, oh, he's not a fit. That's on your defensive scheme, because he's a special player, a special talent, apparently a special person. If you can't find a way to make him work, you're too rigid in your scheme, because he is the kind of player, we're talking, you know, top 5 in a draft class for me. He's the kind of player that you make adjustments for. And yeah, it might put your team at a disadvantage if he's off the field, but you will always be at an advantage when he's on the field. Just below him, sorry to jump around here, is Jahdae Barron. I'm very, very high on Barron out of Texas. I hate the conversation about him being a slot corner. He can absolutely do it. I don't know why it's being held against him that he can tackle. He's awesome on the outside. Outside of Hunter, he is the best outside corner in this draft. And everyone's like, oh, he has to slide inside. Why? Because no one else can tackle, including Hunter, by the way. Like, so now you have to play him on the inside. How about you just have a good tackling cornerback? I know it's a novel concept in this day and age, but there are teams that still do it. And you know what? They're typically teams that are playing in the postseason. Number 4 is Membu. Number 3 is Warren. Agreed with everything you laid out on those. Number 2 is Hunter. Okay. Mykel Williams is going to be the number 1 player in this draft. This is my bet. He's going to be the number 1 player in this draft. he is a special, special player. I love Jalen Walker. I love a lot of guys on this Georgia defense. I want as much stock. I'm going full Eagles circa 2022. I want as much Georgia defensive stock as possible. If I can get the Kirby
Eagles
Smart to
the Eagles did it. Can't go wrong.
Worked out really well for them, by the way. I want it all. I want to hold all of it. What they do on a week-to-week basis is not just immediately transferable to the NFL, but it also should be informing the NFL on how to better run a defense, because Kirby Smart is doing it at a level that nobody else is doing it at. And Williams is the man. I wish I had some deeper analysis or a heavier thesaurus, something. He's the man. He is so clearly the man compared to everybody else. And I include Hunter, who is the man, but his impact on games seems to be, I really do hate this because it's going to come across as a criticism or trying to stain it, but Hunter is an impact player, but a lot of that impact seems to be with quantity and not necessarily quantity. He has a lot of quality, don't get me wrong. He has more quality than the vast majority of these players. He is number two for a reason. He's number one on everybody else's board for a very good reason. A lot of that reason does seem to be that he just plays a lot of snaps. So when you think about him as a receiver, well, he had 70-something catches. Well, he was on the field for like 140 plays a game. Like it's a lot like somebody who gets into the baseball or basketball Hall of Fame. It's like, well, they had 3,000 hits. Well, they played for 24 years and were slightly above average for all 24 years. Like, yeah, you're going to have some cumulative numbers. It was kind of like that with Hunter last year.
There's some long-term longevity concerns that are very legitimate at his size.
I also add in the fact that as much as I love Ajaide Barron and as much as I think Hunter is a brilliant, he's a brilliant corner. Do I want to be taking a corner? If I had, when I build this board, it's like, do I want to be taking a corner number one overall because he can give me 10 snaps a game as a slot receiver? No, I don't. I just don't. I would never take Barron one.
Yeah.
I would never take a corner one. You know who I'm taking? Quarterback or edge rusher. That's it. Maybe there's a super special Aaron Donald 2.0 defensive tackle. Maybe there is, you know, Trent Williams 2.0 at offensive tackle. There are exceptions to every rule, but I'm not taking a safety or a corner or a linebacker or a running back or a tight end number one overall. I'm not taking a center or an offensive guard number one overall. There is a hierarchy to this. And while, again, exceptions to every rule, you see that hierarchy as draft boards are put together.
Yeah.
Mykal Williams is going to be the best defensive end in this class. Why wouldn't he be the number one player in this class? Because you can get 10 snaps on offense from Travis Hunter. That doesn't move the needle enough for me compared to a guy who gets triple team consistently.
I'm with you. And just a closing thought before we finish out here.
Yeah.
So that's our top 10. There are only five other players I have that are actual clear first round talents. There's a couple guys that are like 1/2, right? Yeah. Ashton Gentry being one of them. Like, I don't have him as a clear first round player. Oh, kill me. I didn't have them as
they already came for me. Their knives are too bloodied from.
I like him. I like him, but I don't know. I don't know if I want to.
I would have voted for him. Going back to Travis Hunter, I would have given Gentry the Heisman Trophy last year.
Right.
Personally, that would have been my vote.
Yeah. I completely hear you. But like that's a thing. The 49ers are in the position where they have access to one of those 15 players. It'll be interesting to see how they handle it. No one seems to want to trade up in this draft.
No.
So it looks like they're going to be picking at 11. We'll see. I think they're going to have some good choices, and then the drop-off will be fairly interesting.
We are in the belly of the beast now, folks, and you can be well-equipped, well-insulated from the noise and the nonsense by becoming an official sicko of this channel. Join the channel. Give us
money.
We'll give you the draft guide.
Go get it. Please.
And we're looking forward to your feedback on it. Like, legitimately, we're really looking forward because it has been a true labor of love. And let's be honest, something much stranger and more inexplicable than love. It's a real sicko. The sicko energy on this thing is off the charts. So if you're one of us, you'll understand what's going on here. Looking forward to you guys seeing it. We'll talk to you in the next video.